Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, my Lord, peace and blessings. My beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends, how are y'all doing? I am, how can I say this? Have you ever fallen in love? And the love was so good, yet fallen out of love to only try a new love and then go back to the love that you originally fell in love with? That's how I feel. God is so tremendously spectacular until it's amazing. Yet it is love that he gives you that sometimes causes you to go and try another love. You'll run to fear. You'll run to this. You'll run to that. Sometimes. Because God's love is so good until some people cannot handle it. Only because of the fact that as opposed to them looking at his love as being such amazing love, can look at his love and be hard. So we want to be relieved from the love, though we know it is the greatest of love. We'll try another love, and we'll find that that love is so low on a caliber and compared to God's love. So it causes us to run right back to God and ask, seek, and knock so desperately because we know that that is the greatest love there ever will be. You ever been there before? I've been there. I think I've been there. I've been a Christian now 11 years, somewhere around there. And I've been where I went and tried different loves in order to see whether or not if his love is the only love that was needed for me. And I've come to find out that the beauty of his love is this here. When we allow ourselves the ability to enjoy his love, then we'll come to find out that there's nothing on earth more important than giving him glory, even while we're going through hardship. It is amazing. Yet the only way that you can even begin the process of enjoying his love is you must allow yourself to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because if you're not allowing yourself to do that, then what happens to you is you will depend on his love emotionally, possibly even intellectually, and you'll fail at receiving his love, stop from giving you love. But you will fail at receiving his love because you won't accept his love. And that's what we're going to talk about today, okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus, I say thank you. I love you. I am just overjoyed with you are. I am so amazed with the things that you do in my life until I now know what life is, which we can live abundantly as long as we allow ourselves to believe and to truly believe that Christ, that when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to you except by him. Father God, he tells the truth. He told the truth. Because, Father God, I come to see that it was by his love for you that we get to see what real love look like, that is the duplication of who you are. And we can be in the image of who you are by allowing ourselves to accept love from you. I thank you and I love you. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. I was all day. I actually was going to teach something different. I'm not going to go into what that was, but I was all day thanking God for just different things that he did, which is what I do every day. I mean, the minor things, the small things. As a matter of fact, I went to the bathroom, and there was a small spider in the bathroom. And I had said to somebody that we should try our best to do anything we possibly can for whatever be in our home that we would normally kill, to not kill, capture it, and set it free. Because, Father God, it gives us an example of what we should look at when we are annoying to God. At least that's what it does for me. Because I know I get on his nerves. I know that he look and say to me sometimes, oh, my, my, my. Yet because of grace, he allowed me to still live in his freedom. And it feels so good to have that ability. So I went and said, let me go into the book of Job. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call him Job because he was a piece of work. And I'm saying that because of the fact that we can learn something very special about worshiping God in the worst times of our lives. Let's go to Job 1, and we're going to start at 16. 1:16. Now check this out. While he was still speaking, first let me give you a little, and I know you know, just a little bit of history about him. Job was a righteous man who pleased God. Satan came to God, and God inquired about Job. And not to go through the whole conversation, but he said, you can attack him, but you can't kill him. So now, things is now beginning to happen. So how, well, let's go there. Let's just go there. While he was still speaking, because let's go to 15, just so that you can get the story. Actually, 14. Thank you, Father God. And a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the, ooh, Father God, and the donkeys feeding beside them. When the Sabine raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. So now he's losing his property. Here we go. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you. He was still speaking. Another also came and said, the Shadim formed three bands, raided the camels, and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Now check this out. Now these are three things. First, Satan has a tendency of attacking your money, of taking that of value, not just money, but things or precious, anything of value. He will cause us to get to a point to where we will devalue them because of the fact that we've come to a point in our lives that we believe that we should have so much more. Have you ever said this thing to yourself or to somebody? I like this place, but I wish. That's only Satan saying that, hey, you deserve more, as opposed to you looking and saying, Father God, I thank you for what I have, and I hold it dear to my heart. Thank you, Father God. Yet if I was to ever have anything greater than this, then so be it. Thank you, Father God. But this makes me feel special. So here it is, Job. His money is being attacked because back in the day, the more animals you had, the richer you were. So, okay, his money is being taken away. Now let's go to 18. While he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. Now, this is his sons and daughters. His sons and his daughters. These are his babies. He saw them grow up. He kissed a boo-boo. He played with them. They played on top of him. These are his people from his blood. But check out what they did. Check this out. Check out what he did. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young men, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Then, now check out what Job did. Check out what he did. Just check out what Job. Ooh, Father God. This is a person who loves God. These are people who love God. Check out what he did. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. How dare you do that? He didn't trip out because he lost his money. It did not particularly bother him too much. Yes, okay. I might be going broke here. But he didn't trip out. But when he lost his kids, when he should have tripped out, when he should have went crazy, when he should have went and got some crack, some liquor, when he should have went and started trying to hurt himself or hurt people, as opposed to doing that, he tore his clothes put on sack ashes and got to the ground and he worshiped the Lord. You know why? Because of this. Let's go to, and we're going to come back to Job maybe, but let's go to Matthew 22, starting at 37. Check this out. Matthew 22, starting at, 37. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Now check this out. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Now, let's go through this for a little bit. With all your heart, that's your strength. With all your mind, that's your will. With all your soul, that belongs to God. It should be when you're going through your pain that you give him that, so that he can have the ability to know that he is first. What is the first commandment? That for you not to have no other God before him. For whatever you have decided to lean on first is that which became your God at that particular time. That's the truth. So, with you allowing yourself to come to a point of saying, "Father God, this hurts. I've lost everything. This is taking my life." You do this. Let's go to 4:12. You will listen to these words very carefully. You will put it in your spirit. You will live off of this. 1 Peter 4:12. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. Here we go. Here we go. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, the only way that you can actually understand this is because of this. Let's go to James. It's just one over. James 1. And let's go to, if I'm correct, 1 and 5. Thank you, Jesus. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And it will be given to him. So as opposed to allowing yourself to depend on your emotional or intellectual being to get through the trials, the tribulations, the upside down situations, And yes, even the loss of a loved one, what will happen if you love God with all of who you are, the first thing that you're going to do is get down on your knees and worship. Why? Go to John 10:10. Let's hang out with John. Let's go to John 10:10. John 10:10. This is why. Because, emphasis, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. So this is what Jesus said, 14. Thank you, Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. You believed in God. Believe also in me. So, of course, you get to a point to where you understand the reality of, as long as we're on this side of heaven, as long as we're on this side of heaven, we're going to go through some things. It's not strange. It may be different according to us. When my mother died, I felt as though that nobody understood that. Not that I didn't know other people, friends of mine whose mother died. As a matter of fact, there's a friend of mine, we used to call him Pumpkin. I'm not going to say what his real name is, but we used to call him Pumpkin. His mother died in the hospital. As a matter of fact, his mother died in the same hospital that my mother died in. I didn't go through it the way he did. He became a drug addict. Just became angry. I just became so disappointed until literally I felt as though that I was a complete basket case. Being homeless and sleeping in parks and all that kind of stuff was like a luxury to me, considering the fact of the loss of my mother, because I loved her that much. But if I hadn't allowed myself to love God, all of who I am, this is what I would have really been about. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians, we're going to start at 2:1. See, because when you're in pain, the greatest thing to do when you're in pain, Lord have mercy, Jesus, is to, let's go here. Let's check this out. 2:1, we will finish at 4. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fill my joy by, oh, Father God, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. That's how powerful we really are. It doesn't appear to be like that, does it? But that's how powerful we are. Imagine God looking and seeing all the people that die senselessly, all of the sin that's around us, and he say, I'm taking a day off. I'm so sick of this, I'm done. But my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, my Father is always working, and I am always working. Yes, no, the pain. We feel your pain. We feel the pain of your loss. We feel the pain of you going through what you're going through. But we still got to work. Why? Not just to help people who are going through things that could be even similar, but so that we can show people that God has given us a strength that causes us to rise above that which causes the Satan to try to bring us down with, until we let people know that if God can do it with me, who is so weak, then God can help you. And if we allow ourselves to understand that, let's go to First Corinthians. Father God, thank you, Jesus. 2:9. If we allow ourselves to do this, before we make it, my apologies, I'm in the wrong location. Please forgive me. I'm in 2 Corinthians. I'm going to 1 Corinthians 2:9. Check this out. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's what kind of God we have. So while Job was going through what he was going through, he knew his first obligation is to come to the realization that God can give it and God can take it away. So let me worship him in spirit and truth. God bless y'all. I love you. Take care.